Yo people, before we start today's episode, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors for this season, Watchbox UK. Based down in Hatton Gardens, they're leading the way in supplying you with the best prices for buying, selling and sourcing top of the range watches and high quality jewels. Head over to their Instagram, the link will be in the bio, and make sure to like, comment and subscribe. Please enjoy the episode. Yes people, and we're back with another episode of On The Duty, and today we've got a Prem legend, Mr. Train when he wants, Mr. Plays every week. Ledley King, what's going on, bro?
How you doing? Yeah, I'm good, man.
You good? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for coming on. How's the knee first?
You know what? When people ask me how the knee is, I say I don't need it anymore. that's my first response, because, you know, obviously, throughout my career, it was a problem, especially in the second half of my career.
Yeah.
And now it's just like a relief, really, not to have to put my knee through that same stress that it was under. So my knee's all right. It's been swollen once or twice since I've stopped. And it used to be swollen constantly when I played.
Serious.
So that's the difference. You know, it's not under the same stress. So, yeah, that's good.
That's decent. When it first happened, let's think back. When it first happened, what was that your initial thought? Did you think, just another injury? Did you know the extent of...
So it actually goes way back to my first actual start, right? That was the first operation I had on my bad knee. My first full game, started the game within 10 seconds, got clattered. I was playing in midfield, got fouled after the game, needed an operation.
So straight off.
Played the 90 minutes after the game, needed an operation. That was the same knee that,
gave me
problems throughout my career. But when I had a big operation at 26, after that, it never felt the same. My knee never felt the same. And then my physio asked me, well, he said to me, say you've got 1,000 steps left, how are you going to use them? You know,
serious.
Are you going to use 70% of them in training and 30% in games, or are you going to just maximize the games? And lucky enough, I had a manager first that allowed me to do it. And then secondly, I was, I suppose, good enough to be able to not train and still kind of maintain my performances and play. So that was the way it was.
Did that cause any issues? Like, obviously, it's, you hear a lot of things behind the scenes that some managers say, yeah, you, it's too cold for you. You go inside, but like, you rarely trained, but still performed. Did any of your like competitive centre backs wanna? Go.
I was gonna say that I think, because I've been at the club since I was 14, I was captain, and it was like my club that I feel like the players couldn't really say anything. But now looking back at it, they must have felt something. Do you know what I mean? I'm out there training with them and I'm still getting picked. But what I tried to do was to make sure that, say, someone had played 3 games and I'd been out, and then the manager named the team and I was playing in the team, the other players out, I would make sure I speak to the player.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just say to him, like, get your head up, keep going, do you know? So I always tried to make sure I'd done that, just to make, because I felt a little bit guilty in a way.
Yeah, of course.
Especially when you're not on the training pitch at any moment and then you're just getting picked. It's tough. But at the same time, I was part of the furniture of the club and I think players kind of understood it.
Okay. Yeah. Proper skipper. I think back when... Again, when it first happened, like say after the operation, are you thinking like, rah, like, who did you have the conversation with to say, right, I'm gonna carry on, but I'm not gonna train, or should I retire?
The physios. I never thought about retiring once. Not
decent.
What I did is I'd kind of, we had a change of manager straight after my operation. We had a one day Ramos come in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we tried to tell him that I don't train. I'm not going to train. He said, everyone's got to train. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to show him, really.
Him that you can't train?
Train.
Yeah.
And then showed him what happens when I train.
Okay.
So I had to kind of go through that of, you know, training, getting the swelling, being out for a few weeks or a week till the swelling come back down. And by then, I think he'd seen I made a difference in the team.
Yeah.
Just me being out there, you know, seeing what I could do, and he changed his mind and allowed me not to train. So lucky for me, he changed his mind. I was able to do that. And then it was just about getting as much as I, playing as long as I could, really. I forgot about England. You know, England would try and pick me after I played two or three games.
I remember all of that,
I'd always pull out because I didn't feel confident enough to play an extra game. My biggest problem was muscles. I play one or two games, hamstring. Recover from that, play another two, three games, groin. That was it for 5 years.
Is that because you're not active as much?
Yeah, I couldn't replicate running or jumping or twisting or turning throughout the week. Throughout the week, I didn't do any of that.
So
in the swimming pool, in the gym. In the gym. Not like...
I was going to say, you must have been the strongest person in the club.
But just trying to keep everything strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to keep everything, like my muscles strong. I was doing a lot of swimming. But then you go into the match and then all of a sudden, you know, you got to turn and sprint. I was never doing that through the week.
What's your secret? Because Prem's the elite, top of the top. And for someone who didn't train, and again, you can't replicate the movements and stuff, can't keep up. How do you keep up with the intensity? Like, what's your secret? Mindset,
But reading the game.
Okay.
Because I knew going into the game that my fitness was 50% of everyone's. I knew that my sharpness was lacking compared to the others. But I had to tell myself, first of all, foremost, that football is football, right? It's not athletics. It doesn't matter how fast you are or how quick you are. I know how to play football. So I'm just going to play football.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the game. You know, when the ball's down there, I'm able to try to read the situation and that makes me one step ahead. So that helped me. That was a big thing. But also you have to have a mentality that just willing to not care about all the things that are against you and just play the game as you see it.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So now you've said that, which player did you think, like, if any, did you think, oh my God, like, I can't be bothered to play against him today? I
can't be bothered. No, it was never.
Never?
Listen, in the Premier League, you know that if you don't have a good game, you can get embarrassed by anyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I always said Thierry was the best. He's probably the one, the most that you think it could be bad.
Yeah.
If I don't perform, it could be bad. So he's the standout one. Other than that, I couldn't think like that. I had to think about my own performance. If I played well, I'd be fine. So don't worry about the others. You know, as long as I'm at my best, I feel like I can handle the best as well.
Oh, decent. And again, like, just to touch on the not playing thing again. So you mentioned one day Ramos saying, come in, like, everyone's got to train. From interviews from past players, past managers that have come up, not going to mention any names, like the chairman, he loves the clubs quite involved. Was there any pressures from above on the managers about, like, no, we have to protect this player, like, or was it, did they find out themselves after you showed them your knee?
When you say protect, what do you mean by protect?
Like, he can't train, like, let him do what he's doing.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, it's the managers want to win games, don't they? And I think that they found out that the team was a better team when I played. And that's what it was, really. And I was aware of that. I was aware that at any moment, if I don't perform, they can get rid of me easily.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Because I don't even train anyway. What's the point? What's the point of being there?
Yeah,
if I'm not going to perform on the pitch and help the team, then, you know, I might as well go. So I was aware of that. That's why I had to make sure that when I played, we were a better team.
No, better. How do you reckon you would have coped in this day and age with the social media and everyone's got a voice on Twitter, Instagram, all of that?
Yeah, I think you're fine. I think, you know, if I would have kind of bought into that era, I'd have been able to manage it. When I was growing up, it was a lot more old school. It was a lot more, you know, you had to be tough, show no weaknesses, show no emotion, so to speak. It was a different game. And then all of a sudden you're trying to transfer that halfway through your career or to the back end of your career and, you know, move with the times. Some people find it difficult to. And I suppose really, now that I'm retired, I'm kind of able to kind of see things differently.
Yeah.
You know, even going back to the time when I was injured, I was probably depressed. But you don't know the feelings, you don't know the signs. It's not something that you speak about. So everything's different now. I think it's in a better place.
Speaking on that, did you ever like contact anyone? Like obviously you're the physio's best friend, isn't it? Like doctor's best friend. Is there anyone else you'd spoke to at the club? Like maybe, like now they've got all the therapists and all of that.
Back then.
Who could you speak to? Because physios aren't trained to deal with that.
They're not trained to deal with it. But I think people, if they're paying enough attention at times, you might be able to see things in someone, or someone's not themselves. I think it was difficult with me. I was, chill anyway. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like I was just always loud and all of a sudden, I'm really quiet and showed signs of depression. It would have been difficult. And as I said, you try to hide it as much as you can.
Back in
them days. So it'd be very difficult. But I think we're much more aware now that if you even think someone might be going through a difficult time, probably check in on them, don't you? Say, how are you doing mentally? How are you feeling? And I think that's a better.
No, 100%. What was your day like? So wake up, go into training like everyone else,
Didn't enjoy it. Didn't enjoy it. Like players, we want to play. We want to train. We want to be out with our teammates. They was going out to train. I was going that way to the physio room. And that was for 5 years.
That's crazy, man.
Players always feel guilty when they're injured. I mean, they feel guilty. So at the same time, I'm trying to almost stay away from my teammates because I feel guilty. So when they come in from training, I'm trying to almost be somewhere else because of that guilt that you're not out there, you're not playing.
And the whole, like, even when they're all coming in laughing, missing out on the joke, innit?
You missed the joke. And what, you want to get involved that night? What's the joke? What happened? It's not the same, is it?
Yeah, of course not.
So, it's tough. It's tough to try and kind of find that balance. I only really got that on the pitch because all of a sudden I'm with my teammates, and that was where I got my joy, and I was able to help and be part of the team. Throughout the week, I felt it was difficult. It was quite difficult. Of course, my teammates, I've gotten well with all of them, and they would never isolate me or do anything like that. But it's probably me at times isolating myself because of the guilt.
Yeah. It's good you think that, because some people could let it get to their head, like become big headed, like I'm going to play regardless. But you're more grounded than them, isn't it?
No, definitely. That was definitely one thing that I never wanted to be throughout my career. Like big headed. Or arrogant. I used to talk to myself a lot in my head about what I could do. Well, I felt confident playing against anyone. I felt like I had the ability as much as anyone that I played with, against, or during my time in the league. But I kept it inside. I didn't tell people.
Yeah.
I didn't tell. I just had to make sure that I was aware of that and that I was at my best.
I think from your whole demeanor, you seem very grounded in that. But anyway, Let's move on. What's life? You're from East London.
Yeah.
What's life growing up in East London like? Because I got a couple of cousins, Canning Town, and it's like a war zone out there. Like, what was it like for you growing up?
No, it was fine. It was fine. I was in Bow.
Okay, yeah.
So I grew up with like Ashley Cole,
Jaylord
Samuel. We all grew played up across for the road. From, we all grew up across the road from
each
other.
Okay, yeah, decent. And you played for Senrab.
Luckily for me, I had football.
If
I didn't have football, then maybe I'd be telling you a different story about what Bow was like.
Yeah.
I had a cage outside my house. So that's where I was every single day.
So parents look out, they know who you are,
Like, I was in there with 20 other kids just playing football. That's all we did every single day. For me, the area was never an issue. I know that obviously it's not the most affluent of areas, to say the least, you know what I mean? But that's what I knew. When that's all you don't really want for anything else, do you? So, I had a football, I had a cage. For me, the cage was the best thing in the world, just to have that in my house, So that was my, a gift for me to have a football pitch so close to me that my mum could see me.
Yeah.
Looking out for her window, call me when she needed me. If I wasn't in that cage, I'd hear my mum echoing from somewhere, around the estate.
I was just going to ask, were your parents strict?
Yeah. So I grew up like single parent, really. My dad was in and out. And was my mum strict? She was. She kept me on a straight and narrow.
Yeah.
But I think I was quite uneasy Okay. Kid as well.
Not a troublemaker.
She would tell you differently from like, when I was young. But once I got to like 10, 11, 12, it was football.
Yeah.
That's all I was doing. So it was probably easy for her. But I just wanted to do something for her and my family, like my grandparents. I was close to them.
Okay.
I wanted to do something for her. I wanted her to be proud of me.
Decent, yeah.
And that was my motivation. My best friend at the time was James. We like grew up from like 5 years old. He had his, you know, perfect family. You know, he's lived in a house. You know, both parents.
Yeah.
You know, siblings. You know, I lived in a flat. You know, no garden. All these things, and I kind of looked at his life, and you know, saw it as a perfect life. But at the same time, this is what made me hungry.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to do well. I wanted to give my mum a house and do all these things.
And you managed to accomplish that. Well done, man. Well done. Bo E3, the home of Grime. You a Grime fan?
Yeah, man. Wiley was doing his thing from day, man. He was doing his thing. You know, there was music, and then there was the football side of things. So yeah, we had a little. Down Roman Road, we had the record shop down there. So
DC's and yeah, all of that. Yeah.
So that's where you got all the MCs there doing their thing. And I enjoyed my time in Bath. Yeah.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here.
Go on.
You don't have to. I know you got bars though.
Oh, what? Who told you that?
Listen, wait, bro. Everyone's written a lyric. Don't spit it. Just admit.
I haven't got. No. Them days are done. They're way bad.
Back in the day, everyone had a lyric.
But for now, kind of, I still like my gram.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I still like it, but it's not the same as when I was playing. Football was even more relevant to me because you're playing it for every game.
Yeah,
you're in the changing room all the time. You know, when you're playing music and you're listening to the new tunes all the time, and when you step away from that, now you've got to kind of fend for yourself. Now you've got to find the tune. You've got to kind of keep up to date yourself.
Yeah, of course.
Looking for them. Before, I had my teammates that could put me onto the new tune or this new artist or anything like that. So, in a way, it's not the same as it was for me back when I was playing. It was a tool. It was a tool when you played. It was a tool for motivation and
100%. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a little bit different. Now it's all podcasts where like. I don't know about you. In the gym, you'd listen to like
podcasts
tunes that will pump you up.
Now,
what podcasts make you laugh or encourage you to do better in life?
Exactly. Motivational. Yeah.
It's mad. It's mad. Who did you support growing up?
I'm glad we slipped away from that one. By the way, we're going away from that.
I didn't want you to MC.
Who did I support growing up? Oh, jeez. This is madness. All right. So, as I said, my best friend when I was like five.
Yeah.
Guess what team he supported?
Millwall. Okay,
so that was the first team I knew about.
Yeah,
Millwall. Yeah. Dad took me down there with him when I'm a kid.
Mad place.
I'm sitting there.
I'm
hearing racism left, right and centre all around me. I'm talking about when I'm like 7 years old.
You didn't understand? Did you understand it? Or...
I understood racism.
Okay.
I understood racism, yeah, because... You know, you're taught from a young age not to let, you know, people disrespect you for the colour of your skin and things like that. Just you're aware of it. You're always aware of it. I think, you know, parents will let you know that some people might treat you differently in life because of the colour of your skin.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't let it affect you as much as you can. So I was aware of it. So when I used to go to Millwall a few times, I hope there's no black players playing. So I didn't have to hear racism.
Yeah, okay, you know what I mean?
That's nuts. I remember looking at the team, there was no black players. I thought, yes. And then the referee came out and he was black. I said, he's going to get it. And that's how I was feeling. That's how uncomfortable I was as a kid then.
And
it's mad.
Do you know what's crazy? You can't even, like, as a 7-year-old,
you can't tell people, James,
I don't want to come because X, Y, and Z.
So obviously, I just stopped going. And my team was Tottenham.
Why?
My team was Tottenham. Because, well, my dad supported Tottenham.
Okay.
My dad was in and out of my life, but he supported Tottenham.
Yeah.
And then just the players that we kind of had during that period of time. After we had like Gazza and Lineker, players like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Italian 90 was a big thing for me, that World Cup, and everyone fell in love with Gazza.
Was he at Tottenham then?
He was at,
Yeah.
So that kind of era there was, I was a Tottenham man from then.
Decent. And then, obviously, you said you basically lived in the cage. When did you sign for Senrab?
Senrab was from about 7, 8. We had a good team.
What's the secret? Because your age group, was it 4 or 5 made it?
5, yeah.
5 made it. Then you got Jafo's age group. Yeah, a lot of them made it.
Him and Leon Knight were together. Knight played together. They were lethal.
It must have been like two short, skillful, rapid.
I used to finish my game and then kind of watch Jermaine and Leon on the other pitch. And I just asked, what's the score? Like, it's 15-0. Jermaine scored 6. Leon scored 8. And it was that's what they were doing there. But yeah, my team, we had Bobby Zamora, Paul Konchesky, myself, John Terry, and J-Lord Samuel.
That's crazy. Is it one of them things, obviously, you probably didn't know, where a club knows about the whole team, where it nearly happened for my Sunday team, where a club wanted to take the whole team. Yeah. Did that happen with you lot? Yeah.
But at the time, I'm not aware of this, because my friend's dad used to take me to football.
Okay.
And my friend James, his dad used to take me to football with him.
Yeah.
Every week. So I'm not aware of what's going on, you know, what they're talking about on the side. Whatever his dad told me, that was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if his dad told me we're going Liverpool, I would have been going Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't having these conversations.
Yeah.
So literally, we all went to Leyton Orient originally. So we were
local.
All at Leyton Orient, training there because it was local to us.
Yeah.
And then everyone left and went different places. And I joined Tottenham at 14. I think John, I can't remember John, I don't know if John was at West Ham for a little while, and then Chelsea.
Jay Lord was at Charlton.
And then then he went to Aston Villa. Bobby might have been at West Ham as well for a little while. It was kind of all over the place. But yeah, I went to Tottenham and that was me.
Was you guessed because it's the team of support?
But I went to Tottenham with 2 of my good friends as well.
Okay.
So, like I say, I don't know the conversations. All I knew is 3 of us are going to Tottenham to train. And to this day, I don't know if I was part of their deal or they was part of my deal, but the 3 of us went together. So, I mean, but one of them stayed about a year. The other one done his YTS there.
Yeah.
And then didn't make it. But I look back now, they're still friends of mine now.
Yeah.
And I forget that they played football. That's how tough the game is, because at 15, they still had hopes of becoming a footballer, 15, 16. And now I'm 43, and I've known them all this time, but because they've been doing something else for so long, I forget that they were so close to being footballers back then, and that was their dream.
Do you ever chat to them? Because again, like you say, only a few make it, and everyone's got a friend, the friendship that they develop through YTS and all of that stuff, and your friends don't make it. Like, what do you say to them? Like, did you ever have them conversations?
Yeah, it's tough, because when you leave school and do YTS, you're training every day. You build up a good bond with them, that group of people, like training every day, all trying to kind of make it through to the next step, which is a professional contract.
Yeah.
And it's sad when it's almost like you go into a room and you're told you've got professional contract, or I'm sorry, you're going to have to let you go. And that is like the toughest thing for some. That's probably the first real rejection that most people will get. And it's tough to come back from that.
Yeah, of course.
Some people don't want to feel that again. And then they go away from the game. But the ones that think, do you know what? This is one person's opinion or one football team's opinion. There's so many football teams out there. There's so many divisions.
Yeah.
I'm still going to make a career of myself. You know, if you have that mindset, you'll be fine. You can still play, because you don't become a bad player like that. It's just getting over that mental block, that first rejection, and still believing in yourself, because there's so many options. There's so many different countries, so many different, you can still have a good career.
Yeah, 100%.
People need to realize that, rather than kind of quitting on the first rejection.
I feel like nowadays, I coach as well, So I listen to the conversation that parents have and stuff, and it's like they want their kids to make it for them. Like, it's their dream to have a professional footballer son or daughter. And it's like, that's not it. Like, you're going to push the
it's
love.
Tough. It's tough, though.
I know it's tough.
It's tough.
Because some kids, like, love it with their parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then some, they're like, dad's on me, or mum and dad's on me. Like, I don't like this no more. Do you know what I'm saying?
But I don't think... We all know how difficult it is to make it through, but I don't think kids at a young age really need to know how difficult it is.
Yeah.
They just go after their dream. They just got to believe that they're going to... Because not for one second did I ever think that I was not going to be a footballer. If you'd ask me at 10, 11 years old, what am I going to be? Footballer. It was just like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's naive.
Most young boys say that. Yeah, yeah.
But I think as you get a bit older, 13, 14, now you can start to tell them a little bit more about how difficult it is.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, let the kids dream. Let them have their dream. Unless, do you know what I mean? Unless they're not good at all.
Yeah,
that's a different thing. You know what I mean? But when they're good and they believe in themselves, let them ride with that.
What was your backup option?
No. People ask me now, what have you been in for on the football last? I don't know. No idea.
So,
no idea.
Mum didn't say, make sure you...
No, of course. They will say, make sure you do your schoolwork. Yeah. Of course, make sure you have something to fall back on. I didn't. Like, if you ask me at 11 or 12, do I want to be a footballer? Or do I think I'll be a footballer? I wanted to be the best in the world at that age.
Yeah.
And then I realized the world is big. After a while, I thought, okay. This you know
this
what I mean?
Because
I played for England at under 15, 16 level. Then I said, okay, this Spanish kid's quite good as well, man. He's different. So maybe I'm not going to be the best in the world.
Yeah.
But okay, I'm going to be the best in the world in my position.
Okay, yeah.
So that was my mentality. Before that, I thought, because I could do everything in school and like, even in my youth team, I could dribble from back to front. I was like, I could be like a big Messi. I was like in the youth team.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I didn't see anything different. And then when I played for England and I played against different countries, okay, so now this one's a bit different to me. He's different. You
That's
know?
Mad.
Okay, but I'm a defender. I'm going to make sure I can be the best defender.
Okay.
So that's how it sweet.
That's mad, because I think you're the first person to ever say that, to be woken up by a different culture, different styles of play, and realizing that you're not the center of the universe.
I'm not. All of a sudden, I started seeing number 10 type players. You know, we didn't really have number 10s in England. We didn't really have that. You know, I just see this kind of different kind of.
Like, do I go and mark him? What am I doing?
Different culture. This different. There's something different, you know.
The flair.
Yeah, that kind of just that. Yeah, that left-footed flair or something that some different kind of skills. Because Ronaldo was my man.
Growing up,
but I watched him religiously. So that was everything he did, I was trying to do. Everything. You know, dribbling, all the dribbling, the pace, the stuff. I was doing all that as a kid. So I think I was actually a person that you could have molded into a different position at a young age.
Yeah.
I could have probably, if I'd have trained here, I could have played in midfield.
I know you was good, but don't get your head of yourself.
I stopped at striker. Let's just relax.
Didn't you ever play against? Did you ever play against Ronaldo? Or...
No. Brazilian. No.
Okay.
Played against Ronaldinho, and again, that's a different type of. You know what I mean, that's not
him.
I haven't got that. I haven't got that. Do you know what I mean?
But
that's what I thought. Okay, defender.
Well. Ronaldo had that
no,
as well.
Course. That's what I mean. Ronaldo had that. Yeah. They're different, you know.
Just so mad, like you just said, you wanted to do everything he done. You basically done with the knee.
Yeah. I used to do the teeth thing, everything. Man. I was trying everything.
What about the haircut?
No. I had everything. Man.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, for me, I hadn't seen a player like him before he got injured. That's the pinnacle of striker.
Do you know, so crazy. I remember. France 98, and obviously he's doing his thing up until the final. Yeah. And then my mate sent me a YouTube clip, and it's like 10, 15 minutes, but he doesn't score. But it's never the same team. It's always all these different teams, and he's ripping everyone for fun.
Because Italian football was big, right?
Yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, on Channel 4.
So that's what I grew up on. So my favourite defender is Maldini. Ronaldo was my striker. But the best Italian defenders will tell you he was a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That when they speak about him, that's when you know.
That's crazy.
He was different. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to copy a question that I saw somewhere. If you was to play now, yeah, who would you be able to stop, let's say, like the Haalands? Would you be able to pocket him?
It's Man City is such a good team that I always say that in one-on-one battles, I'm confident.
Yeah.
Because that's how I feel. You know what I mean? I feel confident, but it doesn't work like that. It's not just 1v1.
It's a tactical game. You know what I mean? Yeah.
There's good teams that will pull you out of position and make space for other things.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So that's why he's so difficult to stop. Haaland's not someone who's going to kill you with skills or anything like that. It's quick, yeah? So if you know, you have, he's probably relying on someone else to feed him for him to finish the ball. There's other players that can pick the ball up from 30 yards, run with it. That's a different type of problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's someone who's going to be, I don't want to say a lot harder, but they make their own goals. So now, as a defender, I'm relying on someone else to stop the service. Stop good service for Haaland.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
to make it. Yeah, make it a challenge. Yeah. That's okay. Why it's difficult.
So you're all about reading the whole.
Yeah, but I'll never say that I can, because people say, "Can you keep someone quiet? Could you, you know, mark him out of the game?" You can mark someone out of the game. The best players you can mark out of the game for 90 minutes, and they could get one or two chances, one or two shots, and he could be in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So you've done all that work for 90 minutes, but they still scored one or two goals. That's why it's difficult, Joey. That's why it's so difficult.
I'm going to big up someone. Saliba pocketed Haaland, kept him quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed the game. I was coming back from holiday, but
he's a good player.
Yeah, yeah.
Good player.
But listen, we won't get into that. We won't get into that. I'm Arsenal, you're Tottenham. We won't get into that. We won't get into that.
We're flying, man. We're flying.
What is the secret?
I think the players are happy. I think the players are happy playing under a new manager, a new system. Now, one of the things that the manager said is he wants training to feel like when they were kids. So imagine that. Imagine being a professional player and your manager wants you training to feel like when you were kids. That's like music to your ears, isn't it?
It's
the best thing ever. You come into training buzzing, looking forward to training rather than thinking, what are we going to do today? That's a big thing. So the players love going in every day. They love training. They're happy. They're able to express themselves. You know, mistakes is not an issue.
Yeah.
So if you make a mistake, don't worry about it. Just get on with it. And when you play like that,
results
be your
come
best.
In
you
it, yeah,
you
yeah.
can be your best. That's when you express yourself, when you're not scared to play. They're flying.
Listen, you're doing well, but the weather's going to change.
It's a long season.
Yeah.
It's a long season.
Let's see how you finish. But I'm happy. Like, I know Tottenham fans, and I've never seen a buzz like them like this for them.
The fans are
happy,
buzzing. But
we're close.
I don't think the fans are getting carried away yet. But I just think they're happy that they're playing.
You're not on
the
socials,
style of football.
You're not on socials, are you? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Just Google
Ange.
Hashtag Ange. See what people are writing.
Yeah,
it's like you lot have won a league already. But anyway, I'm gonna let you lot have your moments. We'll see what happens. I'm gonna shout.
It's a long season. Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna shout your boy at the end of the season and see what's going on. do you reckon Kane will be a big miss? Because obviously you're now, what's your role at the club, actually?
I'm an ambassador.
You're an ambassador, you're there a lot.
Yeah.
You see what's going on.
Yeah.
Will he be missed?
Best players, are you always going to miss them in some kind of way? But at the moment, he's not being missed in terms of... it's difficult because obviously the football's changed since, you know, he was playing in a different system, a different team. But what's allowed teams to not miss him as much is that they're getting bodies forward, they're creating chances from all over the pitch.
Yeah.
It's a different style. And I think that's helped the team. You know, if it was the same system before, then it'd be different.
Yeah.
It'd be different. But now, you know, there's times where the team have created 20, 30 chances, you know, to get different people popping up in different areas, different people scoring goals. So that has really helped. Like Harry's amazing player. Amazing player.
Like me and my mates, we talk about this all the time, and like I don't think because he's been at Tottenham and he scored all these goals and not won any, they're like, but he's da da da. I'm like, but he's still a world class striker. Like in his role. He's,
you can't win it on your own, can you? It's, of course, it's difficult, yeah. You know, this football doesn't, it's not like that. There's no doubt he's world class. No doubt. Like, there's, I mean, I'm going to ask you, do you think he's as good as Haaland or better than Haaland?
Yeah, I do. I do. Like, yeah, obviously, okay. Age isn't on his side, yeah, but. Yeah.
But left foot, right foot,
in front of goals. Headed, like, it's crazy.
Hold up play, passing.
If he went City, everything, you know? If he went City, they would have scored 100 goals and won the league by miles. Yeah. But
so that's why I don't like the thing, as in people will only put you at that top level when you play for the top team that's winning things.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you can see if someone's good enough. You know, we all know Harry is that guy. You know, we know he's that good, regardless of whether he goes to Bayern Munich and wins 5 trophies now. That's not going to change how good he was and how good he is, really.
Yeah. Like, okay, what you just said there, do you think you get the respect you deserve? Because, again, you couldn't train but performed on Saturday. So do people ever compare, like, before you got injured to you injured? Because let's be honest, that was two different players.
Yeah. It's two different. It's like my career was in half already. But what I'll say is that the first part, I felt like I was on a trajectory that was going to enable me to be one of the best in my position in the world. Because as you get older, you mature as a defender. So I was looking forward to kind of reaching them years of, you know, peak prime defender. So obviously once I stop training and do that, I kind of hit that ceiling.
Yeah.
And then it's probably like a steady decline from there. So that's difficult for, like, I understand how it could be difficult to sum it up. My teammates will tell you, you know, what I was like to play with. I always believe that. But it's right that I can't be put in the same bracket, I suppose. What you can say is, he ability-wise, he had
everything
that the others had.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the career that they had. It's as simple as that. You know what I mean? They went on to bigger, better things, which is fine. But, you know, had I not had the injuries, then it would have been different.
But that kettle on your wrist says you had a decent career, though. I'll give you that.
Well, to tell you the truth, this is one of my first purchases. A long, long time ago, one of my oldest purchases. So, in a way, it doesn't even tell you I had a good career, because I bought it when I was so young.
It was like my first contract.
So that's way back. It could have ended after that. I still have to watch and a different conversation. I'd probably sold it. Yeah, that's what I did.
All right, cool. So again, being an ambassador, and you're at the club a lot. I'm gonna name some players. I want you to say who excited you the most, like watching them play, even like playing with them. So you got Bell, Defoe, Kane, Eriksen, and I'm going to put Dembele in there. So that's five. Who would you have loved to play with?
All of them. No. Of course. Like, I played with Jermaine. I played with Gareth.
Yeah.
Right? I would have loved to have played, but I played with great strikers. As I said, Jermaine, I played with Robbie Keane. Berbatov, maybe Teddy Sherner, Ferdinand, but no one scored the amount of goals that Harry scored. No one was a 30 goal a season
consistent
man.
As well. Yeah,
and to have that in your team, like, that's, I would have loved to have had that in my team. Musa, most people tell you he's the best player they played with at the club. That's what they would tell you about Musa. Dembele. I remember playing against him when he was at Fulham. And he was number 10. He played number 10. And Martin Yol was the manager. So he was my former manager.
Yeah.
And after the game, like, we beat them 3-1, but after the game, I said to Martin, Dembele, he's a good player, yeah? He said, he scores 3 goals a season. And he's kind of complaining about that.
Harsh.
But technique and everything was unbelievable.
Can't get a
but
move.
In a way, we actually saw the better of him once he moved back.
Yeah, yeah.
So once he started playing deeper. So I think he was just so gifted that he could play anywhere type of thing. But when he played deeper, that was the best position for him. Like, you couldn't get past him.
Mm.
You couldn't get the ball off him. It was that easy for him. He was a player.
Okay.
But Gareth is the player that's reached the highest level of everyone.
Yeah,
from the
start of his career.
Yeah.
To where he ended is.
Yeah, he's crazy. Gareth's quiet. He's a quiet kid. So to look at his career now, what he's had, it's crazy because when he left Southampton to come to Tottenham, he was just a quiet kid. I don't think anyone expected him to have the kind of career he had.
Yeah.
What I did see, he could be a great left back, like one of the best in the world in his position.
Yeah.
Left back or wing back. He had a wand, could run.
Rapid,
but somehow he just turned into something different. Like his confidence grew, and then we just had to start playing him in positions where he could affect the game. Anywhere.
Yeah,
just going to affect the game because his running power and his shooting power was so good that he just turned into a different animal. Like, it was crazy.
Fair enough. I feel like I'm going to be a bit critical on Tottenham. Nothing bad, but I feel like you lot have always relied on one player to carry you lot, and when they go, that's when, as a team, you perform better. So, like, you'll scrape away with you had Gareth.
Yeah, yeah.
He would score the last-minute goal. You had Harry Kane rely on his goals. And now they've gone. Now you're, like, everyone's contributing to what I'm saying.
I think the difficult thing has always been that we lost our best players a lot of the time. Mm. You know what I mean? Along the way.
Yeah.
And that's always difficult. So, like, throughout my time, I've been there, you know, you're starting to build, get something going.
And then
you lose a player. Like, you know, I remember it happened with Michael Carrick. Went to Man United. Then you start to rebuild again and lose Berbatov, Man United.
Yeah.
Then Robbie goes to Liverpool, yeah. Or Jermaine, or, you know, and it kind of sets you back again a little bit, and then you kind of build again. Before I retired, that was the best team I played in. Like, my last season, we finished fourth in my last season. So even in the year I retired.
I think we finished fifth.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think you might have finished above us still. I think.
Okay.
We finished fourth and couldn't play in the Champions League because Chelsea won the Champions League.
Oh, and they didn't get.
They finished like sixth or seventh. But
they let Liverpool do that rule.
They had to. Huh?
I think Liverpool, because Liverpool finished fifth and they still got to qualify.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but the Modric.
Oh yeah.
Van der Vaart. Bale. I mean, that, you know, then you got Lennon. You got, who else did we have? We had players, you know what I mean? Like, we had a good team then. Myself, Woodgate was I'm not sure Woodgate you'd say right at the end, but Modric was an unbelievable player as well. Modric, Van der Vaart, what players?
That's mad. Who was your craziest teammate? Like, I want some stories now.
Craziest? David Bentley was.
He's a name that popped into my head.
Yeah, he was. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do, no rules type of thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, he wanted. So again, he kind of grew up a little bit old school at Arsenal. He's probably used to some of the English kind of boys at Arsenal before Arsene Wenger. So he wanted to still kind of live like that as a footballer, but football changed. I mean, a lot more eyes became on football than, you know, phones, social media. You know, if you asked him what does he want to do, football or be a rock star, he'd rather be a rock star. that's the way he wanted to. And then he wanted to be a football rock star.
They kind of touted him to be the next Beckham,
innit? Yeah, but he had the ability.
Yeah.
Honestly, he had the ability, but he fell out of love with the game because he felt like it became robotic. Do you know what I mean? Too many rules.
Yeah.
Too much. No, you
can't express yourself. Yeah.
And he retired at like 29. It's a waste because he had so much talent.
Give me a story. What's that? Kill him. Don't kill him.
No. I tell you who was crazy. Like, definitely when I was young was Ben Thatcher.
I don't know. I can't remember Ben Thatcher now.
Yeah, Thatcher is a... There's a lively one. Like, just in terms of you go on pre-match walks.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
yeah.
Like, you're staying in a hotel away from home. You go on like a pre-match meal before you eat. So maybe 11 o'clock, just to stretch our legs.
Yeah.
It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. We're going on a little stretch our legs walk. So we're around the city centre or whatever. And I just remember when it was like we're just walking and then we just had some splash. Like, what? Fletcher's just diving into a river. Like, he's just like that guy. Like, you can't. you can't get away with these things now because it's just different. He's just diving into a river on his own. Like, it's just there. We, you know, he's that's the kind of kind of craziness he would do. Yeah, there's some things that probably most of these things that yeah. probably can't say.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But no, he was a lively one. But football was a bit different back then. You used to have characters like you'd always get people doing things to people's clothes.
Yeah,
or,
the banter.
You know,
yeah.
Like Robbie was another one as well. Like, I remember, Robbie stole someone's or managed to get into someone's phone, swap a number around. So that this person was texting Robbie instead of the girl that he thought
no
he was texting.
No way. Better.
So he's changing.
Better.
So we're on the team bus getting all the messages that he's sending. We're replying back. He's trying to get like saucy with it. You know what I mean? We're giggling at the back.
I better. That's
he's talking about, when I get to the room, I'm going to send you a picture and all this. We're replying to it.
That's
jokes.
Class.
We're cracking
that's
up.
Class.
So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right, so, cool. Yeah, you can't, like definitely can't do that there.
Yeah.
It'll get leaked.
Yeah.
Now it'll get leaked. Who's your favourite manager?
Let me go through them, yeah? George Graham was my first.
Okay, yeah.
Then I had Glenn Hoddle. Then I had Jack Santini for like 6 months. Martin Yeo.
Yeah.
I had one day Ramos and then finished with Harry Redknapp. I think Glenn had a lot of potential. Like he was a young manager when I was in his team. I was a young player. He was a young manager. I felt like he had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Like he saw the game different, like the way managers are seeing it now, yeah. You know, playing different systems. You know, back in the day, it was normally 4-4-2.
He was like
that
the first
that was
to
like
change
it.
It. Yeah.
He was like, he wanted to play 3-5-2 because of certain reasons. You know,
yeah.
I could get extra midfielder in. I could still have two up front. So I liked him. But the best time was under Harry. That was like my favourite period. Harry was great because Harry just knew how to get the best out of players.
Yeah.
I mean, he had an eye for talent. So if you had a player that played at another club that was a bit, say, naughty, you know, or people thought he was a bad egg.
Yeah.
That was the kind of character that Harry liked. You
like
know what
a
I mean? I'll get the best out of him, get him going. We brought in Adebayor. Adebayor, some people used to say things about Adebayor. I mean, when he was at Tottenham, he was great for us. He was great. And Harry just knew how to get the best out of people. Adele was unbelievable ability. Adele.
He was crazy, isn't
it? Probably the most ability of anyone that I played with. But didn't know how to use it. Do you know?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Do you know what I mean? He could do, like, he could put the ball through your legs with no problem. Not mine, but yes. No, I wasn't training. So I got,
you weren't training, but, yeah. You...
No, but then he'd give it away.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that
part of the game was missing. I remember his first game, he come on, he like got the ball, he started doing all these step overs, started dragging, like, going mad. He stepped it through someone's leg and then passed it out of play, unopposed. Do you know what I mean? And that kind of summed him up in a way.
No end products, yeah.
It was that was missing. But he had ability. He had some ability.
All right. What was North London Derby's like?
Yeah. So I started, my first one was playing against Seoul.
Okay, yeah.
So the first one I ever played in was when Seoul had left. So.
You see that? You get like pre-warned, like, not pre-warned, but like, there's a manager, Gashrat, saying that he's a Judas and, you know, the crowd's going to be on him.
The manager?
I'm just asking, isn't it? Because the crowd was there.
No, the crowd do it.
Yeah. But does the manager tell you to like go with the crowd and?
Not in terms of individual, like any one individual.
Okay.
Really, I suppose it depends on the manager. But normally back in them days, it was like we read papers, you know.
So
normally you'd find something in the paper that someone had said.
Yeah, yeah.
That was going to wind the opposition up. So when we used to get that, we used to stick it on the changing room walls. You know what I mean? Fabregas had said this. Do you know what I mean? So you used to put it on the wall and try to use it as motivation. The problem is that Arsenal were a really good team. That was the tough part.
We got the better of you quite a few times.
My career, I hardly beat Arsenal. It was Henri, Perez, Vieira.
Yeah, they're invincible.
Lundberg, and Sol, and you know, these types of players. So it was difficult. We had to play really well to get a draw. Because there was they were a different level than us at the time. So, you know, the fact there was a derby kind of give us a little bit more that made us perform better than we should have, really. But the atmosphere for them games is crazy. It's crazy.
How does it feel knowing that you're the last skipper to lift a trophy?
It's kind of catch 22.
Bittersweet,
that's the word. I wish the club, I want the club to win trophies. I mean, it's been too long. Never did I think that we'd go this long without winning a trophy, but it's difficult. It just becomes more and more difficult. As you see with the City now, they want to dominate everything. You know, they want to win every cup. You know, we've got so many good teams in the Premier League that it's so easy for another year to go past without actually winning things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You make one or two mistakes in these cup competitions, you're out of the cup. You know, the league, we're not a team that's been ready to win the league.
Mm.
You know, so really we have two chances. The Champions League, although we've got to the final, it's not a competition where you expect Tottenham to be winning. So, you know, you have the FA Cup and the League Cup, and then you're trying to rotate at times as well, trying to get other players in the team, some games, in games where you think we should still beat this team. And then you slip up and then that's another year. You know, it's difficult.
It's not forever playing catch up, isn't it?
And you're playing against the top team in the final. So, you know, we've been to finals, but then we're playing against a Chelsea or we're playing against a Liverpool. It's been tough. It's been tough. So, you know, I'm hoping that they win something soon because our fans deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be fans that are 20 years old that will maybe just about remember the last final. I think it's time to reward our fans with something, hopefully. Yeah.
That's what I say to the little Tottenham fans that I coach. I'm like, listen, you've never seen your team win a trophy.
The younger kids, if they're like 10, 11, 12, then that's tough. But it does make it sweet. You know, the people that I speak to that were there at the last time we won a trophy, they say it's the best feeling for them, like the best day that they've had.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Yeah, that's what it gives you, that kind of feeling. So when it does come around,
what was the party like after us?
Yeah, it was good.
Just good. To be fair, it could be just good because it's one of them middle of the season finals, isn't it? So you don't want to go too wild.
It's February.
Yeah.
We went directly straight. No, we went to Wembley after family, friends. And then we took a bus, the team coach, to Faces. we're rocking up off the coach outside Faces. I think there was cameras there as well, which is bad. But it's like the best thing in the world to share that moment with your teammates. But the semi-final, for example, we beat Arsenal 5-1 in the semi-final, and we went out.
You beat our kids 5-1.
You have to pull up the team. Lineup.
It's still our kids' cup. We're beating our youth team, beating like Sheffield's and 8-0.
So after that game, we went out, right? And this was the best night because. And this is what sometimes a night out can do, is it brought us so together that we was, I don't know where we was, but it didn't matter where we was. We got in a huddle and we promised each other that we're going to win the final.
Drunken huddle.
Yeah. But not everyone is drunk. But yeah, listen, but people relaxed, people committed to the team, you know, and everyone spoke about why we're going to win the final, what we're going to do. And that was a promise that we made to each other. On the dance floor, wherever we was, do you know what I mean? Wherever we was, and we had to follow it through.
No, decent, well done, man. I think in football, the two hardest things is to make it to the top level and to win a trophy. So you're one of the people that can say they've done it.
It's difficult. It's not one leg. You know, we've seen as we spoke about Harry and the quality he has, and even look at someone like a Hugo Lloris who's won World Cup.
Yeah,
you know. But hasn't won a trophy. It just shows how tough it is in the English Football League to win things. It's tough.
Crazy. All right. So, career we spoke about. When did you consider? When did you think? Right, I've got to retire.
I tell the truth, I didn't. I never really. I always felt that once the season's finished, I can reinvent myself and come back. And the last season I had, I actually played my first. I missed the first couple of games and then played like the next 10 games or something like that. We hadn't lost in them games. We were unbeaten in 10 games. I was feeling really good.
Yeah.
So good that I was training the day before a game. I was buzzing around. I was actually really feeling good. And then I've collided with a young goalkeeper that we have. He's come down on my knee. My knee's just blown up. I was out 3-4 weeks. We just took the fluid out in the end. We just took loads of fluid out of my knee because we had a game against Man City coming up. It was like we're both top of the table at this time. So I wanted to play that game. I wasn't ready. Played the game. We were 2-0 down. We got back to 2-2. Then in the last minute, I gave away a penalty. It was a Balotelli score.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, that was kind of the first game back after the knock. But I didn't feel the same after that. So the next part of the season, I wasn't the same. If I was 50% before, now I'm like 20%, 25%. Like I could not move.
Yeah.
So I struggled. I was struggling, really struggling through. Ended up playing 23 games that season still. So to retire on when you play 23 games, it sounds quite weird that I still managed to play 23.
Yeah.
But it was just like the quality of my games was just going down. I couldn't move. And after the season, I spoke to my surgeon and he said it's time now. You know what I mean? You're going to put yourself in a wheelchair in your 30s.
That's mad.
And listening to him and then judging by the way it felt, because for the first time, I didn't enjoy football. I was on the pitch, I didn't enjoy it because it was just a struggle.
Just in your head thinking, yeah.
It's going to move. So that was when I conceded that it was time.
Did you have things in place? Obviously, you're an ambassador at the club, but did you, like, outside of football?
Not really. I wasn't one of them people that allowed myself to think too far away from the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, along the way, you try to put things in place in terms of investments along your career, which is different. I wasn't someone who planned what I was going to do after. I didn't want to. And it's probably, you know, I've got respect for people that can do that, that they're able to switch off from their football and think about other things. I couldn't do that. Like, our football was constantly in my head.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to think about, because I felt like I'm taking away something from my football if I'm thinking about other things and getting involved in other things. And that's the way I was. So I didn't even, you know, when I retired, it wasn't like I knew exactly what I wanted to do after. It wasn't like that. Luckily for me, when I sat down with the club, we had a conversation and they offered me a role as an ambassador straight away, which was important because it gave me a new purpose to be around the same people that I've been around in my whole career, to take away that kind of boredom of, you know, that thing. You might have 2 or 3 months where you're not doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's not something that's good for anyone. To just keep me ticking over, to keep me involved, give me a responsibility was important for me. And yeah, it's been a smooth transition because of that.
Do you regret not having a big enough impact to England? Like, you was part of the golden generation, innit?
Yeah.
So
for myself, England was difficult. Like, England was, like, I made my debut at 21. I went to the Euros in 2004.
Yeah.
I was 23. And the first game against France, John Terry was injured. Rio was, I think, he was out suspended or something. And I played the first game against France. Done well in the game. We lost 2-1. Zidane scored 2, like, 90-minute goals.
That's the penalty. He scored a pen, yeah.
Penalty and a free kick. It's crazy. But the next game, I don't play, which is fine. I know, I understand it more if you've got an very experienced player that's coming in back into their team. The difference was, John Terry only had like 2 caps more than me at that point. So It's like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you play well and you don't keep your spot at that point, it's like, oh, right. Because I remember there was players that were defeated already that were in the squad. Like, and I used to think, well, why are you so defeated? It was like Emil and Kieran Dyer and Joe Carl. And they said, it don't matter what you do, you don't play. And I thought differently. I thought, nah, that won't be true. And then that kind of happened. So that after that, it was like, England's difficult to really get into to play. Just played in midfield quite a bit for England. I started playing in midfield. But yeah, it was difficult for me. I never really felt that comfortable in England. It was a difficult time. We would probably say that we underachieved because we didn't get on well enough. Not that we didn't get on, but not to the extent that the team do now. Look at them. They were all there.
Everyone's friends,
friendly.
Isn't it? Yeah.
We kept our rivalry still a little bit there. You know, our guards up.
Yeah, that north and south divide.
Not even that. Like, it's south and south as well. Do you know what I mean?
Tottenham, true.
Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Man United, Liverpool's. And,
there's a lot
keep your guard up subconsciously. You know, we still get on. We still, but not really to the level that you see now, and that's why the England team now is a better team. It's like a club. It's like a club for them, and we never let go enough to really perform as well as we should have.
Okay. I should have asked this earlier, but again, at your time, I know I asked you about the craziest player, but was there any fiery incidents that happened? Obviously, you're in the physio room, so you definitely heard some shouting.
There's always, listen, when you're playing in playing under intensity that you're playing at, you're training at, we were all friends, you know, as teammates, but at the same time, if you're playing games in training, you know, you just want to win. You know, if someone does a bad tackle, you know, you can get upset at times. So there's always occasions, you know, there's been situations. There was, you know, I remember coming in one time and Edgar was inside and he said he's leaving. And I said, what happened? And then I heard that him and Robbie got into it on the pitch, him and Robbie Keane. But they're both like, Robbie could be fiery. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Robbie wanted players to do well, like to perform, to work hard. Edgar would have been the same. I mean, I don't know what happened, where it was over. And they had a little nothing, they had a little tear up, and then after everything was fine again. Do you know what I mean?
See you being skipper, do they ask you to step in and be like, mediate?
Yeah, no, I spoke to Edgar because Edgar was upset at the time. I spoke to Edgar. It was luckily for me, Edgar had come in and obviously, I was just in the change room at that point when he came in and he started unpacking his locker. So then we spoke and, you know, we managed to calm him down. So I mean, calm him down. But we had one player called Dalmat, Stefan Dalmat.
Yeah, I remember the name.
He joined
the
club on loan and he was talented. And we were struggling at the time. But he was a problem. Every day in training, he was a problem. He had it. I don't know if it was a language barrier, but he was just miserable. So he's in the changing room and he's just looking miserable, like he's looking for trouble.
Yeah.
And then on the training pitch, honestly, there must have been three times in a week he would be sent in from the training pitch. Just sent in because he'd done something or he'd argue with someone. And I actually remember him and Jamie Redknapp getting into it on the pitch, arguing. And Chris Shuton was one of our coaches.
Yeah.
And Chris is like the nicest guy in the world. Like, it was an unbelievable guy. Dalmat done something to him. And I've never seen Chris lose it like that. Chris lost it.
Serious.
Chris lost it. Chris went for him. We're holding Chris back.
He went for
him. You know, like, he wasn't, I don't think he was going to do it.
Yeah, but
he was,
yeah,
like,
but
he
like,
was like incensed. And Chris is like the nicest guy in the world. But Dalmat was a problem at the time. He used to be sent in three times a week from training. So he was probably the one teammate. And again, I never really had a problem with him individually, but a lot of my teammates did. He would have been the most difficult one to I've dealt with throughout my career in terms of just a problem every other day, a problem.
That's mad. Do you ever like do the big brother thing? Like, come on, like, what's going on? Da, 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 da.
Yeah, yeah. another situation, Van der Vaart and Assel Okoto got into it.
Ah, Assel Okoto didn't like football. Is that true or was that just a rumour?
Yeah, when he first came, he didn't really like it. Didn't like, he was just good at it.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, he was a good player. He had so much ability. If he actually cared enough, rather than just do it to get by, wanted to be the best, he could have been top. I feel like as he got older, he started to appreciate it more.
Okay.
So he was one of them people that didn't really know who we were playing the day before a game or, you know, on the team bus, who you playing. You know, just didn't matter to him. He was so relaxed.
That's mad.
And he was someone that just, he was a different character. And again, when you got Harry Redknapp, Harry knows how to deal with people like that because Assel Okoto would do everything that he told him not to do. So as a manager, you're going to get in a fight with this player because you're trying to set down rules and they're not listening.
He's not going to listen,
Or you got to kind of just allow him to be a bit different.
As long as he's performing on the pitch.
Exactly. And that's how Harry was. You know, as long as you're doing it for me on the pitch, you know, do what you want, you know, within the boundaries. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
if it's Sussar, he's wearing a hat. Just let it go, you know? Just let it go. Because if you're a manager and I say take your hat off and you say no, where does that leave me?
To be fair, I've
got a problem now.
I was like that in school. Take your hat off, no chance.
If you say no, I'm like, so take it off. And you said no. And then what do I do? Oh, you've got to walk away.
Fuming.
Or I've got to kind of get up to you and take it off you. And then it's a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So that is tough, but Harry was really good at that with that single car.
And it's mad because everyone's an adult. It's not like you're talking to kids where they have to listen to you now. It's that.
Yeah. There has to be discipline in football.
100%, 100%.
That's the kind of the thin line, you know, being able to still have discipline, but not take away everything. Because some managers, they just want to control everything, you know, the silly things. Capello was a bit like that with England, you know, just silly things that you couldn't do, and things like that just upset players.
Well, like no ketchup.
Yeah, there was no ketchup under Juan de Ramos. Yeah, no ketchup, no sauce. Only could drink water. But in the end, players start sneaking things. They start sneaking things in their bags for away trips and things like that. So it becomes.
So what happened with Assel Okoto and Van der Vaart?
They was arguing over a free kick. That's we won the game. Them two arguing. I thought I was supposed to take the second one. But it's like, you know, before you know, we have to break them all up. We have to break them up, and the next day I have to bring them together and tell them to squash it. So I mean,
that's pain.
But it happens. These things happen. People think that it's like it's a bad changing room if that is happening.
Yeah,
but it was. They was arguing over. We won the game. You know what I mean? It was just, I suppose it was just what they agreed. Someone didn't do they agreed in the first place. But they got over it and that's fine, it happens.
Okay. Now, last question. Please answer it because a lot of people are skim past it and stuff. With the money in the game, and the price and the prices that defensive midfielders are going for, how much would you be worth?
How much would I be worth? Who's the most expensive defender?
Van Dijk? 80,
79?
Is it
89? Something like that.
80
something. 80
something. Yeah, 78 is
let's just say
80
million.
80. Bro, a defensive midfielder went for 100 plus. Another one went for 110.
Yeah.
You're Mr. Don't train, but can still play at heights. Don't say 80.
But I didn't. Also, I didn't get to see me. Do you know what I mean? That later part.
So if
you're talking about
one knee,
that 25, you know, before the knee, then I'd say 80.
Okay. Yeah. And then with the knee,
if I would have got to 27, 28. Then maybe it would have been more. It would have matured. I'm still improving. But with the one knee, it's like 1 mil.
So basically, but either way, your price tag, your agent would have been laughing with the signing off fee.
We miss that. We will miss that, man.
Cool. Wait, I'm going to sneak this one in. You or Rio?
Listen, I always say that. I always say that I put me next to anyone, week in, week out. You'll see.
Yeah.
But Rio had a much better career. That's as simple as that. Mm. It's as simple as that. Do I? No, I'd say Rio and Terry were the two best ones. I think I was there with them. So I feel like I didn't really have like left foot, right foot. I had control. I could bring the ball out of the back. I could play. I could defend. Get my head on the ball. Quick enough on the turn and all the attributes. Rio was more glitzy and glamorous, you know.
Yeah.
He was like that. JT was top as well. So them two for sure. It's fine to say they're better.
Yeah.
Because of their careers.
But you're up there with them.
But you know, on ability, was I there with them? Yeah, I believe so.
Fair play. Listen, thank you for coming on, man. Well
no
done.
Problem. Thank you.
No, good.